Good evening. Welcome along to the Radio City Legends. It's 6:30 on your Monday. Oh, the boys are in a world of their own on the other side of the studio at the moment, talking about Liverpool's victory over Fulham and a resolute display by Everton down at Chelsea. Maybe you were there. Give us a shout. 0151 4720 967. So no defeats to reflect on this weekend. Not even Tranmere, who were playing Oxford in a 3-3 thriller. Yeah.
Shelby just said straight away the ball was rolling when Alisson done
it.
When he spun it back and it just stopped at the right time where he put a crisp pass to Trent. You know, crisp
I thought it was brilliant
to,
from Alisson.
It was a moving ball.
It was reminiscent of what Rainey used to do. Get it out
ball.
Quickly.
It was a moving ball.
It was from the wrong place. It was moving.
By the rules of the game, which don't matter anymore, but it shouldn't have been.
No one else has referenced the moving ball.
Yes, they have. Everybody.
Everyone in a blue shirt.
Well, it stopped.
Everybody referenced it.
I was at the game and it stopped exactly at the time when he booted that ball, and it was to perfection. Trent's was to perfection. And Salah's was a perfect goal.
And let me tell you, they've been moaning if your goal had been chopped off.
And he was miles offside. And how can the referee turn up and say he was influenced by the crowd? Oh. It was like a library at Anfield. Everyone was was hung over from the night before. It was so quiet. It was the quietest. And they're no good them early games to get people up for it anyway. They rarely get atmosphere. And he said that the crowd, you know, made a big difference with the decisions. No chance.
Not at all.
We get nothing at Anfield anyway, do we, Steve?
What?
We don't.
No
wonder
you've got a smile on your face.
We used to, Charlie, but we don't know more, honestly.
But we might do on the 2nd of December.
Hope so.
Right, what about Slavisa Jokanović, who claimed, basically, that his side were cursed, given a bad deal by what happened with the goal that was chalked off.
I thought they were doing okay. I saw a wee bit down. I was down at Chelsea and I was watching the game. And I thought they were better than what I expected.
Absolutely,
I thought they were going to get battered.
Yeah.
And I thought, and then the boy Sessegnon has a chance and he misses it kind of thing. And, you know, Liverpool are huffing and puffing a little bit first half. But that was a big turning point in the game.
Absolutely, because he should have scored. Sessegnon, you know, it was a rare defensive blunder by Liverpool. And he's a cracking player, that Sessegnon. That's how he really impressed me. Missed the opportunity, you know, and if you're going to do something at Anfield, you need to take them. But Fulham are by far the worst team I've seen come at Anfield. Mm-hmm. They come and actually add a goal. They defended well as well. They created two or three opportunities. Other times, you know, I have to give the linesman credit, he got it right, but again, a little bit probably by luck more than judgment. Because when you see the actual goal split second when it happened, he was half a yard out. That's all, only half a yard, and that could have so easily, he could have gone the other way. The decision, as it was, it went our way, and Liverpool made the most of the decision by what a great goal. 12 seconds it took, I think, something like that, before he was in the back of the net. You know, instead of being 1-0 down.
What they said today, listen to somebody today, and they said that usually in that situation, they scored and they all ran to celebrate.
Yeah.
And quick thinking from Liverpool all day long. The so-called rules, who knows what they are, is the referee has got to, or if that happens and they're all celebrating, he should delay the free kick until they get back in. That's what they said.
So you're saying he should have pulled the free kick backwards?
Sharpie's gone from rolling ball now.
Listen, I'm not brought. If you take a quick free kick, it's up to them. If they go and say but what I'm saying is, they say that the referee in those occasions usually says, no, blow for a free kick.
Have you got any other reasons why it shouldn't be a goal?
Because it's you lot.
We got it out of him eventually, didn't we?
Oh, but it was unbelievable. Listen, I'd hate to have seen you lot in here if you had that goal disallowed. You'd have been in tears.
It was the goal of the weekend anyway for me. It was, you know, Shaqiri done really well actually for a Sharp, you have to say. He was the man of the match, and he does link up the midfield to, you know, to the front three, because we aren't really still at it, the front three. Mo's looking a bit better, I have to say. Firmino is just, I don't know where he is at the moment. His head's all over the place. So he's even coming onto the top of the back four to try and get the ball. When Van Dijk should be saying, get up there, get away from us, you know, blocking us. The lads, he's not right at the moment.
But the manager's almost changing his formation to make sure Shaqiri can play, isn't he? So you've almost got you've got a 4-2-3-1 essentially to fit him into what he's doing.
Yeah, 4-2-1-3. He's slightly, you know, more advanced than the two midfield players. But what he was doing, I was watching him, you know, throughout the game. He was getting some great pockets of space. just delving and delving. And sometimes we didn't give him the ball quick enough. But when we give him the ball, he's the one that always looked like he was going to make things happen. And he got his goal where he deserved it, you know, at the end.
All right, come on. Come on the phone and tell us whether you think everything was fine about the Liverpool goals. Also about the Everton display. Brilliant stuff from Jordan Pickford down at Stamford Bridge. No? Oh, you're pulling your face there. You don't think he was brilliant? Was he not the outstanding Everton player?
No, I think he'd done well. But I think the saves he made, you'd expect him to make them. I don't think they were like,
right.
Ah, worldy. I think the free kick one from Alonso, Alonso's hit a great volley, but it's kind of straight at Jordan, and he's got a position where he's knocked it over. He probably made a good save in the second half, I think, from Morata down low. But I wouldn't say it was like...
Well, consistently high standard he's performing out of the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's not... As I said, I spoke to somebody down there, and they were talking about the boy at Liverpool, and they were just saying that he's not been outstanding, but he's steady. I wouldn't say Jordan's been outstanding, but he's been... It's not like, wow, he's won us a game there. You know, I don't think that was the case. Listen, he done his job, and all the saves he made... You come expect him to make them. You know, there wasn't any what you call worldies. You know, but he done well with it. As I said, Alonso one was straight at him. The one Morata was down low, he got his hand to that. But we had chances as well. You know, we had chances where maybe we should have capitalised a little bit more. But overall, I thought it was decent. I thought first half we were really good. We got in and defended well and didn't give them any space. Hazard was anonymous. Second half, as you'd expect, they came out early. And you're thinking, right, here we go, backs against. And at stages it was a little bit, but still we were dangerous on the break. And just a little bit more care and composure in one or two instances, we could have punished them.
Well, I didn't see much of the game, Sharpie, but what was Hazard like? Was he quiet?
Hazard
was
very quiet.
Did Everton do a job on him?
John, Everton done a job on him first half without specifically going man-mark. They just got into the... When they lost the ball, they just got behind the ball and congested the midfield and... intercepted their little passes and then hit them on the break, you know, with a little bit of pace. So first half was better. Second half, we knew they'd come at us a little bit more. They missed a couple of chances. They went forward. Alonso. Yeah. Sorry, left back, got forward a lot, caused a few problems. But overall, Silva said they probably deserved a point. Yeah, I would do.
Chelsea should have finished with 10 men, shouldn't they? Jorginho's tackle on Sigurdsson was... It was a horror of a challenge, wasn't it?
The referee, 2-footed. Here we go again. We talk about
no?
The referee. Was
it not obvious?
Was it obvious? Because it was right in front of them. You know, and it obviously wasn't obvious to him, and it was right in front of the linesman. But there was another one with Alonso and Walcott through the back of him. The referee never booked him. Then Rudiger and Bernard, you know, chalk and cheese. One is 6'5", one's 5 foot. They have a little coming together. Rudiger has the cheek to say that Bernard's headbutted him. Bernard couldn't have headbutted his belly button. It was that chalk and cheese the size of him kind of thing. And he rolled about clutching his face, and I thought, wow, that's cheating kind of thing. So the referee was poor, but he never seen it, the referee, but booked to two of them. He was up the other end of the pack, but booked to two of them. So referee was poor, but a point was a good point for Everton. I think the fans have been down, at least seen a performance where... On another day, they might have nicked it.
I think yeah, Kevin Friend,
I have to say, he's I've never seen him.
He's no one's friend.
No, he's not.
Let's take some calls. 0151 4720967. 4720967. Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Let's start on the red side of things with Phil, our first caller. Evening, Phil.
Hi, lads. You okay?
Hello, Phil.
I just want to talk a little bit about the contrast and fall of Shaqiri and Firmino. So, you know, I think anyone who's watching Liverpool lately can see that over the last five or six games, Shaqiri's been one of, if not the best players for Liverpool. He's so positive and direct, and every time he gets the ball, it looks like he wants to make something happen. You know, conversely, I think Firmino has been one of the poorest players, just the way. That's not really a criticism. I believe he's played more games than anybody else in Europe since the start of last season, so maybe he's looking a little bit tired. But the point I'm getting on to, really, is that Liverpool seems to be adopting this 4-2-3-1 formation to fit Shaqiri in and keep Firmino in the team at the same time. But I think the first half an hour against Fulham showed me that when you play two in the midfield like that, Liverpool look a little bit vulnerable, a little bit too easy to pass through the midfield. And I think in the big games, we're probably going to revert back to playing 4-3-3. And when we do, then how do you fit Shaqiri into the team then? And I think...
Well, do you know what? You can just say there, Phil. You're probably right there. He will do like he did do at Arsenal. No, yeah. The way it is at the moment, he has to fit him in. And if he has to play Mo Salah down the middle and play Shaqiri wide, then he'll have to do that because, for me and you, he's spot on. The lad, since he's signed his contract and whatever, hey, and I'm a big admirer of him, you know, he's just gone missing. You know, he's going back on top of the back four. You know, he's trying to get balls just to get onto the ball to make him feel better because it's easier there to make your passes, maybe to get a bit... Maybe to get a little bit more confidence, I don't know, but he should be told to stay up on the shoulders of the centre-halves and come off into the hole there. And he's just not doing himself or us any favours at the moment. And I don't know what it is with him, but he can't play him at the moment. The manager simply can't play him, you know, because he doesn't look like scoring. He's not really creating much at all. Yeah. And Shaqiri's the opposite.
Yeah, that's it. So I think if we go to the 4-3-3, it might be a case of dropping Firmino Salah in the middle and, as you say, Shaqiri out wide. And also, on Firmino, I think, you know, a lot of the effectiveness of what he's done previously, when he's playing at the nine, he comes quite deep and he drags players out. And, you know, obviously that makes gaps down for Martin and Salah. But I think at the moment I'm noticing that defenders just don't seem to be following him out of the defence and they're just kind of letting him go. And then we haven't got the room for Mane and Salah to attack.
They're filling the spaces back. Well, when if that's the case, he should be getting in his pockets of space and making things happen himself. That's what happens. It always, you know, one door closes, another one opens up for you, and he just doesn't know what. I don't know what he looks like. He doesn't know what to do. He's lost all his confidence. Everything. Yeah. He's still working. You know, fairly hard, not as hard as last year, because we were pressing from the front, which we're not quite doing this year. But it's a bit enigmatic because we just don't know, you know, what's happened to him.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I agree. And what do you think about Trent at the moment? I mean, he's only young, and I think a player like that, Liverpool need to have the squad to be able to take him in and out the team when needs be. But it seems like we haven't really got the squad to do it. I think Liverpool could really do with maybe looking at signing some cover for when Trent's dipping in form.
I think what Trent does, he gives you more than Klein, than Joe going forward. You know, going forward, defensively the others are just as good as him. You know, but Joe and Klein defensively, you know, he's played for England. He's no mug. I don't know what's happened to him at the moment. He's gone off the face of the earth. I don't know. But certainly,
I mean, that goal we scored against Fulham there with the one where Trent released Salah. You know, I'm not sure if we would have played Gomez in the right back, his mindset would have been to do that quite as quickly. You know, there's definite advantages to playing Trent, but
it's a great ball. Hey, what a perfect ball. Absolute perfect. You know, it's a precision ball for him to run onto to get the time to do what he did, you know. And Trent put some, you know, he done some really good things, but he's just erratic at the moment. He's just not himself. And he's only a babby. He's only a babby in football team. So, and you go through these
kid, you do. Sometimes you have to come
these,
out,
you know, periods in your career, Sharpie, don't you? You're just going to come out the other side.
Kids are always like that. You know, as I say, they'll start really well and people saying, yeah, great. And then they'll have a little dip.
Yeah.
And that's the time when the man just said, right, okay, just sit in the sidelines and watch for a couple of weeks.
Do you take them out when they have the dip?
Yeah, I think if it gets to the stage where he is really struggling. Mm. You know, and the manager will be looking at him now and he knows him better than anybody. He'll be looking at him now and thinking, yeah, he's struggling a little bit. You know, we'll give him another game. But I wouldn't be surprised if they change that. Although the lad is a good player, without a shadow of a doubt. But I just think if he's suffering a little bit, sometimes it makes it worse the longer you keep them in.
Well, I mean, he has got the options, hasn't he? He can just move Gomez there and play Lovren.
Klein, I don't know, he needs games Klein, but, you know, again, he's a good backup, isn't he? He's no mug. Mm. You know, and the thing is that Trippier's got an injury, didn't he, for England? He picked up a bad injury, Trippier, didn't he? So you could do with him having a couple of weeks off rather than go with England, you know. And I know the manager's spoken to Southgate about, you know, Joe Gomez because he looks like he needs a break, maybe play one of the games. I think it's sensible. You know, you've got to, you know, with these games, and they're only part friendly games, as we know, you've got to look at the players as well and who needs what. You know, because that's the way the line football's gone. Now, we just used to go and get on with it, didn't we? But unfortunately, now they're looking to do, you know, the scientific part and what your body is and what your body's not. So, wait and see what happens with Joe Gomez. But Trent might need a bit of a break as well, you know.
Phil, thank you very much indeed. Some top
cheers,
boys race.
Cheers. Cheers.
Super stuff.
That's a disappointing thing, that's right. Because when, as a team manager, you know yourself, if your player's struggling, then the last thing he wants to do is say, your best bet now is to go and have a break. Have three or four days away. Chill out, blah, blah, blah. Don't go to an international where you're training every single day again and you're going and playing in games. So sometimes you need to be a little bit of common sense with international managers who have got to listen to the team manager and say, listen, he's really struggling. But they don't, because they've got their own agenda. And they will play. They will play those players.
Good point.
Yeah, you mentioned the lesser spotted Nathaniel Klein, because we haven't seen him, have we? Don't know. In fact,
he's not injured, is he?
I've checked through all the squad lists for this season. He was on the bench against West Ham the first game, but then subsequently he's just vanished. Maybe. It's amazing for a player who played at such a high level, but he had a bad injury, didn't he? A back injury as well.
You know, maybe he's not training well. You know, because the manager just, he'll put in what he sees, you know. People train to get on the bench, don't they? I don't know. I haven't got a clue. Maybe he's got a cob on.
Is he playing some 23 games? No.
No.
Do you know what? I'll have a look in the break. I haven't seen him. Don't know.
May have played one. I'm not 100% sure. Someone might tell us.
Someone else, give us a ring. 01514720967. Quarter to seven. It's the Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge. Whatever is on your mind, give us a shout. 10 to seven, Radio City Legends, Graham Sharp and John Aldridge. The boys, of course, we had Tony Bellew on the show the other week. So let's have a word or two about the boxing at the weekend. He was facing an absolute monster, wasn't he? Tony was outstanding, but...
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, all right, he only lasted the 7 or 8 rounds, whatever it was, and Tony was ahead. He was ahead, you know, everyone's, you know, by a round or even two. I thought he'd done really, really well, but you'd always suspected that something was around the corner with this, because he was class, wasn't he? The Ukrainian was absolute class, you know. He came on with this T-shirt, which was just like, I think it was a motif of Jesus Christ. He's very religious and he's into poetry and all that. But once he got in that ring, you could see. But Tony had them ruffled the first couple of rounds. You could see in his eyes, he was a little bit concerned, the Ukrainian one, the way Tony came out. And he was trying to gold him. And it was really interesting fight. But I thought Tony boxed well. But I thought you could always see if he stepped it up, he's different material, isn't he?
Brilliant to watch, wasn't it? And I know he's been training down at Finch Farm, hasn't he, as well, Tony?
Listen, it's his last fight. He knew before the fight it was his toughest one he's ever going to face. He said that, and it wasn't just talk kind of thing, because he knew this guy was like special. Yeah. So I think, you know, when, as I said, we were trying to get it in London to watch, we couldn't get it. But just listened to people afterwards, said, yeah, as John quite rightly said, he was ahead by all accounts, but still... The guy was coming strong, wasn't he? The guy was just coming on strong, but round by round by what everybody was saying, and he was just getting to it. So listen, it was a great effort, and he's been brilliant, Tony, and thoroughly deserved all the plaudits he gets. But, you know, it happens, doesn't it? You just, there's just somebody out there who's just a little bit better, and, you know, you move on. But I'm sure he'll be successful in everything he does. I love listening to him when he's doing the commentary on the boxing nights. So I'm sure there's loads of avenues open for
them. Yeah,
well done, Tony. You did a bit of boxing in your time, didn't you? You've handed your talents down to your grandson now, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. He boxes for Gemini. Yeah, he had his second fight in Heighton on Friday. I went to watch him. He boxed very well. He won. Yeah, he did all right.
Could you see Aldo holding the bucket in the corner?
I could see him fighting in the crowd.
It was chuck. It was good. That was there was some really good bouts. You know, the young kids. Yeah. It's good to watch. I like me boxing. But that Yusuf, the length of his arms. I was looking at the length of his arms and thinking, hell, the reach he had on Tony was ridiculous. But they're talking about him going into the heavyweight division. If they can pull that off, that'll be just brilliant for boxing, won't it? So many great fights could happen there.
Well done, Tony. Let's get back to the footy. What is it? 5 minutes to 7 o'clock, Radio City Legends. Next up, we're going to have Matt. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Good evening, fellas. How are we all?
Hello, Matt.
I've got to say first, thank you very much for leading in from the boxing, because I'm a huge boxing fan, and that Osik is just a different class. He really is.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to, I'll touch on it briefly because obviously I get to my point about the football. I listened to the ex-middleweight champion Darren Barker talk about him on the radio last week, and he said he loves Tony Bellew, you know, loves the bones of him. But he said this guy makes boxing look easy. He's an absolute monster that actually has got all the skills and the attributes to dominate in any division he goes into. So thanks for leading me in on the boxing, lads. I like me boxing as well, John. At least there's something the red and the blue can agree on. The point I wanted to make, I came on a few weeks ago and I, you asked me the question, do you think that Marco Silva's the man?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at performances and I think to myself, hang on a minute, we've got to take a reality check here. Look at where we were 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were in absolute turmoil. And he came in and I was like, okay, well, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Let's see how we go. And obviously, being a fan, and you know this yourself, guys, all of you, that being a fan that doesn't go to the match and commenting about the game on Sunday, I can only do it subjectively. I wasn't there, was I? So I can't really do it objectively because I wasn't there to view it firsthand. But from what I heard, the change in the team is just like it's wonderful. There are faults in there that they're going to be because it's going to take them a while to sort it. One of them being Theo Walcott. I don't know. Talking about gone missing, blimey. I think the best word to describe that man is surreptitious because he goes around stealthily and appears every now and again. But and Bernard, I think he can do a job for us. And ironically, with that horrific challenge from Jorginho on Gylfi Sigurdsson, and I don't know how there's not been retrospective action against that because that was just that was disgraceful. But I think it might do us a favour. I know we've got the international break and Sigurdsson should hopefully be back for Cardiff. But I've heard a lot of people say that Bernard's best position is in the number 10. Well, if Sigurdsson's not fit, do you think he could sit there, Sharpie? Do you think he could go in there and do a little job? Because I think looking at Idrissa Gueye, you know, Garner Gueye, he's the man that's going to do it defensively. Gomez is our new Tim Cahill. He's the box-to-box man who's going to link the attacking midfielder with the defence. I think he's a revelation, that man. But I'm not 100% sure that Bernard can do that job. Do you think so, Sharpie?
Bernard's a clever player. I just thought against Chelsea, you know, he was up against Aspilicueta physically, you know, was a lot stronger. And he looked like what he is, just like a small player. And sometimes he get muscled out of it kind of thing in the left-hand side. I think he can play in field. I think he's a clever player. He can get on the ball and make things happen. Whether he would do that, I'm not too sure. I thought the young boy Lookman, when he came on, I was at the game, so when the young boy Lookman came on to replace Bernard, he was very, very good indeed. So he's put a question mark to the manager as well. We've obviously got Richarlison, you know, he played up front again, did some good things, but wasn't really in it as much as what you'd expect. So he can go on that left-hand side as well, and they brought Calvert-Lewin. So now, what he's got now, he's got options. He's got options that he can change people around. I just think on Sunday, I thought, and you talked about Silva since he's come in and people not sure about him. When you think he's only played, 12 games? And in those 12 games, everybody who's watched Everton this season will see that there's been a change. And a positive change at that. We're going away now, and that's Manchester United, Arsenal and Chelsea. Okay, we lost the other two and we've drawn this one, but it's been close. It's been close at United. It was close at Arsenal. We deserve something at both grounds. That hasn't been the case for 18 months, 2 years, 2.5 years, whatever it might be. And even the fans after the game, you know, applauded the lads. The lads came over. They can see a togetherness now in the squad. And that's down to Marco Silva and his coaches. They've done really, really well.
Couldn't agree more, Sharpie. I really couldn't.
Yeah, still a long way to go, don't get me wrong. But what I would say of the start he's made with a new group of players. And you've got to remember as well that him and Marcel Brands have looked at it over how many months, I don't know, and decided the players that they don't want. You look at the players who have left the club, and okay, some maybe on loans, but Williams, Balassi, Klassen, Ramirez, you know, he's got rid of players as well. And that's not an easy thing to do. So I think he started his job at Everton very, very well. And hopefully there's more to come.
I couldn't agree more, Sharpie. You did steal me thunder a little bit on the United, Arsenal and the Chelsea, because I think we were very, very unlucky to come away from them two games. Or at least, you know, we deserved the points.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think we actually deserved to beat Arsenal. I think they were just lucky in the fact that they could put the ball away or whatever. But going forward, I completely agree with you, because I look at the change and you could feel it in the ground. I sit in the Park End this year and you can feel it. And the lads at the beginning of the season all around us are going, well, let's see how we do. And now we're going into the games going, we can do these.
Yeah.
We can turn these over.
Yeah. Matt, the only thing I'd say to you about in the Walcott situation as well, I think, he's been disappointed. But I thought on Sunday, I thought he gave us that threat down that right hand side. And I thought he played well on Saturday, Sunday, and I thought he linked up better with Seamus Coleman. Maybe away from home, he might be more beneficial to us with his pace and his trickery. But I thought he did okay on Sunday. So hopefully there's more to come from him as well.
Matt, nice one. We have to move on, but thank you very much indeed. Great points made. Let's talk about Liverpool and their formation. It was a point raised about 15 minutes ago. Of course, trying to shoehorn Shaqiri into the side at the moment. How do you do it? I think that's what Peter wants to talk about next up on the Radio City Legends. Evening, Peter.
Evening, lads. You okay?
Hello, Peter.
Hello, yeah. No, I just wanted to talk about the formation and the setting up of the team, really. Obviously, we played the 4-2-3-1 formation for the majority of the game yesterday. We changed it to a 4-3-3 later on, about 70-75 minutes. We seemed to look a little bit lost because the pressing game seems to have gone from last season, been put slightly on the back burner, if you like. And it's been said by a few pundits I've been listening to that Klopp sort of holding these players back with a view to pushing on hard in the second half of the season. Is that something that you'd agree with, John?
Who knows? Possibly. We're all waiting for it to start, haven't we? And we started games really slowly, haven't we? You know, whereas sometimes when you're doing that pressing game, all of a sudden it kicks you on, you know, early on. And then second half of some games last year, we sort of tired out. And I don't know. Perhaps it's a method he might use down the road.
Is that even feasible?
Hey, who knows?
Is it?
I just don't know.
Go on.
The high intensity pressing game seems to have disappeared, if you like, from last season. They're not doing that. They're doing it at times, but it was like relentless at times last season, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe second half he might revert back to it, and the lads will be fresher the second half of the season. I don't know. It's a strange one, isn't
Would that
it?
Not sound like you'd conceded an awful lot in the first half of the season to get to that point?
Yeah, but we haven't. It's worked, hasn't it? Whatever he's doing, it's worked. And it's not been great because, we're winning ugly, and we're all saying, great, it's great to win ugly, but it's nearly every game we're winning ugly, aren't we? You know, and you just want to see some bright lights, you know, coming from the front three and getting back to what we were doing last year somewhere along the way. But it's not really happening. Mo's done all right, as we said before. He seems to be getting there or thereabouts. He's got 6 league goals now, only 2 behind Aguero. And then, you know, Shaqiri and, you know, Manny's in and out a little bit. You know, Firmino's not doing it. But you know, you want to see some signs that it's coming together, and we're not seeing it.
Yeah.
Anything else there, Peter?
No, that's all. Great, thanks.
Do you play Shaqiri every match, Peter, or not?
I want to know if you're Shaqiri's agent.
Hey, I told you two weeks ago, you shot me down,
no,
and I was bang on, you did.
I never.
I said to you he should be starting every game.
No,
you
Klopp knows more than you.
You said don't take one of the front three out, no. And I said play him because he makes a difference.
Klopp knows more than you.
Well, of course he does.
Well, you're Shaqiri's
but
agent.
But Klopp's only just caught up on what I know.
Oh, I knew you'd say that, yeah. Get Hoddle's all next
Peter,
manager.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, my daughter Leila just wants to say hello to everyone. Is that okay?
Yeah. No problem.
How old is she?
6 years of age.
Yes.
Six, Layla.
Hi, Layla.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, Layla. You right, love?
Yeah.
Who's your favourite Liverpool player then?
Salah.
Good girl. Good girl.
Do you remember any John Aldridge goals?
No.
No.
Hello.
Who's John Aldridge?
What about Graham Sharp? Do you know who he played for?
No.
Thank you very much. Lovely to talk with you. Take care. Liverpool aren't performing brilliantly at the moment. Do you watch the Manchester derby? How good were Manchester City? Different level, aren't they, really?
It's worrying, isn't it?
I'm just trying to look at it. I can't even see it. I need the glasses. The goal difference already is...
Yeah, the plus 31, Sharpie.
Plus 32.
Liverpool at 18, Chelsea's 19.
It's unbelievable.
So that's another point, obviously. That they're
unbelievable.
Gonna,
but they're playing people off the park as well.
That's to say, Man United, woeful. He can say all the things he wants, all excuses Mourinho wants to say, but they were never in the game. Gives City far too much respect, you know, which is their respect. And they'll be the best team in Manchester for years and years to come.
Play some great football.
Yeah.
Play some good football.
Yeah,
they, and they've got options on the bench as well. But, you know, the depth, Silver on the pitch.
Oh,
they've not even got De Bruyne playing at the moment for them.
Silver for me has been, you know, people talk about Hazard, and Hazard's had a great season. Yeah. But Silver, God, dude, he's just different class, and he, you know, he just pops up in all these little pockets and gets the ball, never gives it away. Mm. Top draw, and you know,
they're all coming at the same time and all starting to play well. Yeah. Stones, the boy Mendy at left back, who's been struggling with injuries. And I just think they're just coming together at the right time. And they look like a team that's going out thinking,
we're going to win, but even
if we go a goal down, we'll just keep playing the same way we are, and we'll get something out of this.
The only thing people can hope for is these sanctions, what's happened with them, you know. That's the only hope we've got, folks.
Cling it on. And of course, at the end of the match, the manager, Pep Guardiola, berated Raheem Sterling. Yeah. He was doing a bit of showboating. And I suppose that's an example of how Pep is still operating at this ultra-professional level and won't accept anything other than...
Well, he mentioned that he said that he can still keep the ball, because I think he mentioned that the boy Foden and another, I can't remember who else he mentioned, had a similar situation. And he says he just kept it in terms of passing, just kept the ball moving rather than... I think he was upset the fact that Sterling actually stopped the ball and was trying to do all these step overs when the other two had just passed it and kept passing it and kept keeping it and keeping it. So different ways of keeping the ball, and I think he was angry at that. But listen, whatever Man United is going on, John said he's complaining about too many games. No. People are getting tired of it.
Yeah.
People are getting tired of it.
Said they've had home games where we've been travelling either.
Away.
Come on, you've got to do better now. Yeah. I mean, you get sick and tired of all the... No excuse.
No.
do second best from first to last minute. End of story.
And what stage do we say whether it's realistic that Liverpool could actually
stay
on
their
tail?
It's going to be
hard. Of course, of course, yeah. You know, it's a long way to go and anything can happen. So Liverpool are still in it. Of course they're still in it. And quite rightly so. They've started the season very well and people are hoping that the form in terms of the way they're playing improves. But still long, long way to go.
They're not going to lose... Very many of any matches in Man City, unfortunately. You know, you've got to go to the Etihad and we've got to win there probably to give ourselves a chance. But to give ourselves a chance, that, you know, Firmino, Mane, Salah have to really get back to what they were doing last year. And if they can get back to that, then you don't know. But it's going to be really, really tough because they're just a tremendous side.
7 minutes past 7, Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. We'll do our quiz pens next. Right, 12 minutes past 7 o'clock. Let's do pens. Our quiz, 3 questions each for the boys. I believe in my absence the other day, John Aldridge again crumbled on the shootout.
The shootout. I've been beat on shootouts every game. Yeah. My penalties are garbage, by the way. I'm in the bar and everything.
Do you just go to bits, do you? Right, so he doesn't like the pressure moment, essentially. Sharpie's a bit more ice cool.
I think
presently.
More lucky.
All right, let's get going. Who wants to start today?
Sharpie
first
today.
Penalty.
I'll go 5.
Graham Sharp has picked out a Yerry Mina question.
Oh, no.
Yerry Mina has been capped 16 times for Colombia. Mm. How many goals has he scored for Colombia?
3.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
5.
The answer was 6, actually.
6.
So that's one missed penalty.
Off, yeah.
Wide a goal. John Aldridge.
Numero uno.
Number one. It's a Liverpool question. The Reds beating Fulham 2-0 at Anfield yesterday. Who was in goal for Fulham?
What?
So who was Fulham's goalkeeper? Well, you were at the game.
What kind of question's that?
What, knowing a footballer?
I've not a clue. Nobody played. He's a foreigner, know that. I couldn't even see.
Do you want to have a stab?
No.
No?
No.
Absolutely no idea.
And the answer was Sharpie?
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah, I've got to have you.
As it wasn't Bettinelli, was it?
No, it was Sergio Rico.
No.
Rico.
No.
To be fair, had a good game. Pulled off a couple of good saves.
Okay. Sharp?
We started well here, haven't we? 6.
Number 6. Name this mystery voice. Well, I have to move it around on my screen. Hang on. Here we go. Right, Sharpie, listen carefully. Who is this?
Have a pop shot.
Right, one more go. Who is this mystery voice?
Have a pop shot.
Okay. That is the voice. Who do we think it is?
I know the voice as well.
Do Running out of time, Sean.
Big boy that used to play up front for Liverpool and Southampton. What was his name? Big centre forward.
Come on.
Listen.
Ricky Lambert.
No, it's one of your very good friends who is celebrating his birthday today. He's 58 years old. He's from South Wales.
Isn't Neville Southall?
Well, maybe he's not your very good friend. Yeah. He captained the club.
Yeah.
Rats.
It's Radcliffe.
Oh, I never did that.
Big
Let me hear that again.
58 years old today. Do you want to hear his voice again?
That is an on goal.
Here we go.
Have a pop shot and...
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Ratcliffe.
Oh, I'd never got that.
Happy birthday to Big
Kev. Oh, sorry, Rats. Yep.
58 years old today. Sharpie with two missed penalties so far. John Aldridge.
Number three.
Number three. Come on, you've got to get a win under your belt, Aldo. How many 2018-2019 Premier League clubs, so how many clubs in the Premier League have birds?
Have what?
On their,
birds.
Birds. On their crests.
Dear me.
So on their crests, so if you think about the chest.
Come on, Tamer.
Hang on, let me find it. Here we go. So how many have birds?
I just feel.
What did you just say?
I just feel.
I just feel.
Four. It's either three or
you've
four.
You've got to name them.
Name the ones that you've got.
Oh, name them.
Yeah. Oh, go on, name
all right, then. Cardiff. Liverpool.
Cardiff have a bluebird.
Liverpool
have the liver bird.
Yeah, Brighton.
Brighton have a what?
Seagull.
It is, it's Seagull.
Oh, he's looking at the league table. What's going on?
No, that's it, three.
Three?
Yeah.
Okay, what do Burnley have on their crest?
Not a bird.
It's a stork.
Oh,
what about Crystal Palace?
Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Got an eagle. And Tottenham Hotspur have?
Cockerel.
Oh, yeah, that's mad.
Four penalties, four misses so far. It's a great penalty shootout, this.
So what,
Graham Sharp.
What number was that, John?
To be fair, you need more time on them, to be fair, to get them. That's hard, yeah.
Is that tough?
To get them, yeah.
Have a word with our producer.
No, I'd have been through that league table because he was looking at the league table. She should have been able to pick them off.
Should be able to. Under pressure, Sharp.
Right, two left.
What have we got left?
You've got number two and number four.
I'll go two.
Okay. Aldo will be delighted with that one, Sharp, number four. Boca Juniors and River Plate played out an entertaining first leg of the Copa Libertadores final. What was the score that game?
First game.
Now that's one I do know.
It was on the telly.
And I watched that. I was in London.
It's the game. It's the Champions League final.
I got postponed
at 1-1. You've gone 2-2.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea.
Three penalties missed by Graham Sharp there.
2-2, yeah. And that's the first leg, wasn't it? Was there any trouble there? Because they're mad, aren't they? They are.
It was 2-2, though. Boca against River Plate. John, it all comes down to this.
Go on, then.
This can be the win. Name the song and the artist. Oh. Name the song and the artist, right? Here we go. You ready?
Oh, come on.
That's Prince.
You've got to get one more time. Here we go.
No, don't know.
You get it twice. You get it. Yeah. Always get it twice.
Tell
here we
you
go.
What?
Purple Rain.
Get it, John.
You think it's Purple Rain?
And Prince.
That's me. Well done, John.
All time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just 1-0. Eh? That wasn't good, was it? Should have just record.
Chop, you look like you've been in a proper penalty shootout.
Oh, no.
You're in despair over there. That wasn't really good, was it?
That's 5-4 now.
In the old John Aldridge rules. Right, we're going to talk about refs in a moment or two. Before we get there, let's take another Everton caller. And we have on the line Martin. Evening, Martin.
All right, lads. How are you doing?
Hello, Martin. All right, pal.
Yeah. Just it's about yesterday. I was impressed with the way we kept our sheet defensively yesterday. I tell you what, considering Mina can't speak English, he was getting his point across all right all the time.
Yeah.
He's, you know, big, and, you know, he was quicker than I thought for a big fella. Mind you, Usain Bolt was a freak at his height as well.
Mark, you're spot on about the defensively. I think the manager got his tactics spot on, first half especially. The big question, Mark, now for the next game is, what does he do with the back four? Who does he play?
Well, for me, my view is that you don't change. If you're doing well, you leave it. That's my view.
I think that would be harsh on Zouma.
It would be, but I know you've said as well, gut feeling, you wouldn't really have to move too many, and people are knocking through at the minute, so he could go three at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And I've Yerry Mina in the middle of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Although to me he looks left-footed, and they're like gold, so I might have Big Kurt in the middle of the three with Keno on the right, and.
Listen, Martin, it's a difficult one because he changed it yesterday near the end and brought in Phil Jagielka and looked to play three centre-backs, and so he changed his tactics a little bit as they were coming into the game. But no, it's an interesting one. I thought Mina did very well on his debut. I think he cruised his debut. No disrespect, but he was up against the boy Morata, who's really, really struggling at the moment. But I thought Mina did really, really well yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do it, but we're going to have to, aren't we, about Billy Nomate's friend. I mean, I think he spent another hour at the ground afterwards going down the Chelsea Lounge, just getting his Man of the Match award for them. But does it not register with the FA about the referees? When was the last time there was a World Cup without a single British referee there? We used to be the mainstay for the referees, even if England and that weren't in the World Cup. Yeah, there was always two, three, four officials there. Mm. And now they don't want us there because they're awful.
Mm.
They are.
But listen, Martin, the Premier League...
They don't think so, Martin.
It's the Premier League, the decide kind of thing. But what you're saying is true. You know, you look through the games week in, week out, and listen... We know it is a difficult job and it's sometimes they're onside. We know that. We know all. So, and I'm not, I wasn't a great advocate of it, but if they need help, they're going to have to get it because I think they're making far too many wrong decisions. Yeah, and I look at the Southampton one, which could inevitably, I know not just that one decision, but that could be they've lost 2 points here, which could knock them out of the league.
£140 million.
Exactly.
Wherever they'd shoot parachute
exactly.
payments.
So,
like,
so that was a Charlie Austin goal that was disallowed. Yeah. Let's hear to Charlie Austin's response to it afterwards.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. They shouldn't win the game. They get a point. We score a perfectly good goal. Make it 2-0. Game's done, dusted. We win the game. Officials cost us 2 points today. It's standard.
Can you explain why the goal was disallowed?
Hey, they said it's offside, hit my, I didn't. I hit it twice, hit me, bobbed up, that's why it done Foster. It's a joke. We've gone about VAR this, VAR that. Help the officials out. Clearly they need help. Clearly, we play in the Premier League, the best league in the world, the most watched league in the world. Give them all the help they need, because clearly it cost us 2 points a day. It's a joke.
Oh, and even the players are feeling that, aren't they?
We, how many times do we come on the show, you know, every Monday in particular, after the weekend, we talk about referees nearly all the time, you know, and we know. And Charby's right, they need help. You know, the only one that I've got confidence in is Oliver. I think he's the best of the lot, to be honest. But you know, they make things hard for themselves. You know, all you have to do is go and talk to the linesman and try and find out what he's got offside for, you know. Come on, use common sense. But, no, we talk about it all the time.
The Southampton one was outrageous. Absolutely
scandalous, wasn't it? Yeah. We got another caller. I think we've lost Martin there. Apologies, Martin. I don't know where you've gone on our system, but we've got Ian who wants to talk about refereeing as well, refereeing in the Manchester Derby. So let's welcome him to the show. Hello, Ian.
Hello, boys. You all right?
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Ian. All right.
It's just a quick point, really. Basically, I want to see if you can explain something for me specifically about the Manchester Derby. Anthony Taylor was given the game yesterday. He's from Withenshaw, claims he supports Altrincham. Now, Mike Dean is from the Wirral. Chris Foy was from St Helens.
Yeah.
They never got Liverpool Everton games. I think Mike Dean got one Merseyside derby like 10 years into his refereeing career. Where does that double standard come from? How does Anthony Taylor get Manchester United?
I totally agree. Mike Dean, you know, I'd accept him, you know, because he obviously he's a Merseyside, he knows what it's all about. Well, I don't know who he supports Liverpool Everton.
Tranmere. Massive Tranmere fan, Mike Dean.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he should be given the opportunity. But that one, like, obviously, people have talked about Anthony Taylor, you know, saying, you know, the Man United connection with his family. No, don't know. I don't know. You don't know. But certainly, I think where referee's concerned, he's well below halfway in the table as well, from what I've seen from him.
I think it's something that's, wherever you go, if you go to Scotland, obviously it's Rangers and Celtic, and it's hard growing up in Scotland, side of the Rangers and Celtic support. Yeah. So this is always getting levelled at them as well. As soon as you get a referee, oh no, it's because he's a Rangers fan or because he's a Celtic fan or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's right. I think that there's got to be clear rules and instructions, you know, because that doesn't seem right. that Anthony Taylor, because I don't know, if you're living in Altrincham, I think it's extremely hard, and no disrespect to Altrincham, the football club, that you're not going to have any tendencies towards Manchester City or Manchester United.
Well, sort of, loads of time. You know, you can, I don't know where they do this when referees come into the game. It should be highlighted where they're from and what team they supported. Because I'm not being funny. If I was a referee, I've been a mad Liverpool fan, or, you know, in my youth, and I'm refereeing, and say Man United are playing West Ham and there's a 50-50 for the penalty for West Ham, I'll give it. No,
give
it.
Human nature. Yeah.
And it happens. Mm. It happens all the time. We see some decision which you can't. What's that all about? Mm. And it's gone on for a long time, but you never ever know, and it's never ever put in what were referees from. Well, you know where they're from, but what should be in, who he supported as a lad.
Do you remember Brendan Rodgers was fined £8,000 because he questioned Lee Mason refereeing the Liverpool Manchester City?
Remember that, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, that's right. He got fined for it because he criticised him that he refed us, didn't he, at their place, and he's from Wigan.
That's right, yeah.
What do you think about VAR, boys? Do you think that should come in?
Yeah, I think it's got to come in somewhere along the way. Yeah, it has to come in, well, absolutely.
There's a vote this week, apparently, between the Premier League clubs, and if 14 of them vote for it, then it'll come in next season. But what I didn't like at the World Cup was all the constant questions and nobody really knowing what's going on. Do you not think they should do it on like a challenge basis, you know, like in tennis or in cricket, where the coach gets a challenge at half, and if he uses it and he's successful, he keeps his challenge, and if he uses it and he's not successful, they lose it.
Possibly.
Rather than having these constant interruptions.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Possibly.
Good point.
Decent point.
I just think if it's something that's going to help them, and we all say they need help because they're getting so many decisions wrong now, and I don't think it would take a lot, you know, to set it up and just saying, I'm not, the only thing I wasn't sure about is I would like to see somebody at the game having a screen
that's
in front of them, watching it, and very quickly radio to the referee and say yes or no.
Take his decision.
Rather than going away outside to somebody sitting in London.
Ian, thank you very much indeed. We've got to finish the show there, but brilliant point. Boys, it doesn't feel like we've had an international break yet this season, does it?
Oh. He said three holidays.
Are we back to another one?
Yeah, three holidays.
John Aldridge touring the world because the clubs aren't playing. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, fingers crossed everyone comes back without any injuries.
Yeah, boys. Thank you very much indeed.
We won't be here on Thursday. Yeah. We'll return when the football decides to return as well. Thank you very much for your company this evening. Join me on Radio City Talk from 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Among my special guests will be Alan Irvine. We'll see you next week.